Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Why do we fall? You know, this is a deep question, and we can't ever fully answer the why questions, but it's still worth the conversation. So in this episode, Stephen and I dive deep into the emotional and spiritual tangles that we all face. We begin by talking about the roots of our emotional programming, and then moving on to the emotional spiritual connection and the complexities of stumbling and falling. You know, it's not just about sin. Emotional maturity is just as vital. Finally, we aim to provide some practical wisdom for facing emotional pain and the power of community in our healing and recovery journey. Even though we fall, we can get back up. For daily thoughts to help on this emotional growth journey, visit drmarriage.org. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we'd love it if you would rate and review the podcast after listening so that you can help others to find this program. Now let's go ahead and dive into today's important conversation. Well, all right, Mr. Stephen Cervantes, we are back. How are you today?
I am good. Back together again, the dynamic duo.
You know, I should have mentioned, you're back to your white shirt.
Oh.
You know, for a while there, you were changing it up a little bit, but now you're back to your normal look.
White, normal white, power shirt.
That's right. You're clean.
Khaki pants, white shirt. That's the uniform. Yeah. It makes life so simple. You know, just a bunch of white shirts and khaki pants and no more thinking required.
Well, you know, it worked for, I'm totally just Steve Jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he Zuckerberg. Had the turtleneck
and
the
true.
Pants or whatever. So, All right. So, Stephen, we are going to talk about why do we fall?
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty big question,
right? What
kind
of question is that? Say it again. What's the question?
Why do we fall?
Oh, my goodness. We're going to try. You and I are going to try to answer that question.
Which is dangerous because I know you're never supposed to try to answer the why question because that's kind of the unanswerable question, right?
That, good for you. If you hadn't heard that, when anybody asks you a why, you immediately change it to what, right? Because why is like, well, why'd you do that? Well, why'd you do that? Well, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? You can't answer the why question. What were you thinking? What were you
what
doing?
Happened, yeah.
What happened? Well, all the other questions, who, when, what? But the why is almost like, ask God, will you? Why is like, why was I born in the South? Would somebody tell me? I didn't have a dream about that, you know?
And even,
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, yeah. Why was I born Hispanic?
And
why?
And then,
ask God.
And then even when you ask God, you might end up in a situation like Job where the answer that he gives you is like, all right, I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to repent in dust and ashes. I should have asked the question. So.
Right. Were you there when I formed
right, exactly.
all of this? Where were you when I was busy at work? Oh, you weren't even a thought in your mother or father's mind.
But I will say this. I think that doesn't mean that it's not useful or beneficial to explore the question. And we're going to be talking about why do we fall? Like, and let's just start by making the universal admission. We all fall. Right,
yeah,
we've all fallen.
The
Bible even makes that clear. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we want to explore.
Yeah,
what's happening with that?
And we're not the gods,
right?
We're the guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're about to hear is two guys' thoughts. Okay, take it for what it's worth. Now, the other thing I would say to you, if you don't know this about me, I'm going to tell you something. I'm really a simple guy. I'm not complicated. I can't do formulas and remember formulas and math equations. And I had to go to summer school for the table. What was the old table?
Oh, the periodic table.
The periodic table. I got special attention to learn the periodic table, you know, and even then it was like scraping by. So I'm very present. I'm very concrete. I'm very simple. And I just want to know how things work. Mm-hmm. So I try to break them down into things that make sense to me. Now, you can do all the higher level thinking you want. That's not what you're going to get here. Now, he might, but not this half, okay? So it's going to be simple, and it has to make sense. And there's this line, there is a way things work. Mm-hmm. Who's the Wild at Heart guy? Eldridge.
Yeah.
Eldridge said, there is a way things work. And it's like, okay, if our God is a God of order, and he made things, and he calls us sons and daughters and friends, and he wants to show us, well, we can figure things out that other people can't figure out.
And I think also what we try to do on this program is just two guys talking is we want to bring something useful.
Absolutely.
Right? We want it to be something that it's like that is connecting with my mind. That's connecting with my life. That's something that I can use and maybe learn from. So
why do we fail is the title of this. And I'm going to sort of read off my notes and we'll make comments. The truth is you're an emotional, spiritual being. Now, why do I express it that way? Because your emotional program was set up first. Then later you accepted Christ and pursued higher spiritual truths. Your emotional program is how you express yourself. Now, think about this. Remember, when we're babies and we want something, we cry. When we're in pain emotionally, when we want food or attention or to roll over, our blankets choking us, we're trying to express our needs, physical and emotional needs. And so we're set up in childhood and we use emotional language to express our desires, our wants, our needs, right? First, we start out emotionally. And then second, we invite Christ into our life and we learn about Jesus and heaven and how to talk about spiritual things. You know, I was thinking sanctification and justification. You know, you think about all these religious terms that people use, salvation. You know, those are not, that doesn't happen in the beginning. That happens later.
Right.
So we're going to separate two things for discussion purposes that are really hard to separate.
Yeah, they feed one another. They're so intertwined and interconnected. But I think in the same way that if you're going to dissect something in biology to be able to try to see, okay, well, how immediately I had the thought that came in my head about the Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, you know, separating soul and spirit,
good.
And bone and marrow. So I thought, hey, you know, when you look at a bone, right, there's this marrow, there's the bone, but they're totally connected. But what's the distinction there between the two?
So, and the reason that I say you can't really separate them, but we're going to separate them for discussion purposes, is because what is love? Is that emotion or is that a spiritual concept?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. What is sadness and grieving? Is that emotional or is that spiritual?
It's they're connected.
Yeah.
You know.
And when I'm bored or restless or discontent, is that emotional or is that spiritual?
It's totally interwoven.
Right. Yeah. So whenever you say love, it's emotional and it's spiritual. So both. But for discussion purposes, we're going to separate an emotional program from a spiritual program.
And I want to say this right now. If you're a man and you're feeling like, I'm just going to turn this off because this is, you know, I've got a porn problem or, you know, I'm cheating on my wife. I need help with that. Don't leave yet.
It's going to get good.
The reason is because this is foundational to those issues, because we're talking about why do we fall, right? Well, brother, you've been falling, right? Ooh. With pornography and all that kind of stuff. We're going to try to unpack the underlying aspects of that. And it does connect with the emotional and the spiritual.
Amen. So let me read on. As you grew up, you learned words to express your needs and wants. You literally copied the language, the values, and the view of your parents. They're saying now, a brain does not know how to form. So as a child, your brain will copy your mother's brain and your father's brain. And you know what they say? Oh, he's a lot like you. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think that brain copied? It copied your brain. It saw the world through your eyes. It used your language. It valued what you valued, and it discounted what you discounted.
Almost kind of helps to make sense, this whole idea of being made in the image of God, right? You're made in the image of your parent, right? There's a sense in which
you're bearing
their image because of that. So
that's all you know. That's all that's there. So you developed your fears, some uncertainty, and your identity in your early years. Who am I? Why am I here? What do I want? You know, if I act this way, the mom and dad smile and laugh. And when I act that way, their mouth turns down, they scold and frown and huff. And, oh, man, well, I think I'll act more like this. Mm-hmm. Life was full of challenge and confusion. And you succeeded in life emotionally. In the confusion, you succeeded and you failed. Through the challenges, you succeeded and you failed. Now remember, this is all the emotional program setting itself up. People and relationships were complicated. One day you went to school and you sat next to this odd kid over here, and there's somebody in front of you, and now you have to have a relationship with these people.
And you're like, they're not like mom and dad, right? I mean, there's a foreign aspect to that, you know?
And so, yes, you play with your siblings and the kids down the street, but now you go into this classroom. And I remember one kid came home from school and said, well, I went to school. I'm done. He thought school was one day. Got through school, and now I can go play all day again. His mom said, nope, you're going to have to do it again and again and again. So it's like, man, I've got to emotionally survive. I'll tell you a story. In first grade, the kid next to me was crying. I was scared. I didn't know where I was. Who is this teacher? Who are all these strangers?
And why is this guy crying, right?
And this guy's crying. And I said, I'm not going to cry. That's my emotional system getting set up. What am I going to do? Am I going to cry with him and join him? And then later we'll be the crybabies. But no, I'm going to sit here and suck it up, and I'm going to get through the first day of first grade. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and if we go back to even this idea of the definition of your emotional program, it's how you express needs, wants, and desires, right? Well, how do you even sort of even learn what some of your needs, wants, and desires are? A lot of that is influenced by these things you're talking about, these external factors, right?
I got to tell another story. My wife said when she was in school, they were making lambs with cotton balls. And she said her fingers got stuck with the glue and the cotton balls were on her hands and she couldn't get them on the paper. She went to the trash can. She threw them. She threw every cotton ball on the paper in the trash. Then she got in the trash can and stomped on it all. And the teacher had to come get her out of the trash can. Now, isn't that a great emotional program and figuring out, learning about self? Isn't that? I mean, that's the emotional program first, sets up first, right?
And she was feeling lots of emotions apparently around that situation.
Well, she wanted to do it perfectly, she said. Yeah. And she could not.
She went from everything from like delight and joy to anger and, you know, hate and all
that's
that kind
great.
Of stuff.
Later in life, you invited Christ to be your savior. And you could have done it young. You have a great story of around the toilet at age what?
Six.
At age six. But still, there's a whole lot more emotion than there is learning Jesus and even the brain developing and understand the spiritual, right?
Well, and let me ask a question here. I don't want to get you off your train of thought. Yeah. But, you know, considering that we struggle with conscious memories before really, really young ages, right? I mean, I don't really have any conscious memories really before age 4 or 5.
Okay.
And yet, are those not critical years in the emotional program being right. developed? So, and I, again, I don't want to derail the conversation, but how important is that for us to just recognize that this system was being built even before we could consciously have memories of it? Is that significant to what we're talking about here?
Well, but you're looking back and saying, I can't remember. When you were present, if you had any language, you could tell, right? But things got encoded and then are way back, right? They're way back there, and it's like we don't access them. And then what they say is, what you remember is any emotion that's, I mean, any event that's filled with emotion encodes and has longer memory than just an experience.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying when you're, you know, an infant, 1, 2, 3, 4 years old,
yeah,
you're still an emotional being, right?
Because
you're saying, hey, I cry if I'm hungry.
Absolutely.
Even if I don't remember that, I'm just saying, could there not also be things that are being encoded part of that emotional system before you can even consciously remember those kind of things? And I'm only saying that because of the fact that you're saying, hey, it's later that we come to this relationship with Christ, and there can be a whole lot of foundational emotional
things. Oh, there
things.
Is, right. In your home, I mean, and that's why people think about God as Father.
And they struggle with that.
Right, and they can either love it or hate that idea because your Father was there, and that's a concrete thing. God is this, you know, out there thing. So later in life, you learn more fully to embrace spiritual truths and concepts and ideas, and we talked about on previous program, you bring what you develop and you laid it down at the cross and he gives you a new program. That's a whole later spiritual thing, right? You keep growing and building your spiritual program all your life, and you still have to manage your emotional program too. So we're told the word gives you everything you need for life and godliness. And so some people will discount the emotions and say, well, you know, you only need the spiritual, right? You only need the spiritual. Well, I think
that's... But like we said, they're not disconnected. What's love?
Yeah.
Emotional, spiritual. What's sadness? Is emotional, spiritual.
That's right. So people don't understand emotions. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that emotions are understandable. And it's so funny because when anybody talks, I think, okay, this is a piece of how you view life and the important language, and this is an important part of you. I don't know anybody that opens their mouth and says nothing or says, well, I'm going to be stupid. Everything I say is going to be stupid and dumb, and I'm going to act like a two-year-old. Every adult is saying meaningful things about their life, about their day, about their hopes, about their dreams.
Yeah, and so I think it is important to recognize, again, the connection between the emotional and spiritual. But you're about to get to a big, big component, because I feel like this is, to this point, this has all been set up. And I want to say this, too, because men, again, especially the men that are listening, this is why I think sometimes we don't know how to deal with the entanglements and the addictions that we get connected to, because you and I have seen this happen all the time in our Gateway to Freedom workshop. You have a guy that comes in and he has impeccable spiritual answers. He knows chapter and verse, the entire Bible. He has his doctrine sewn up so neatly.
And you ask a question and he's fast with the answer.
And then you start hearing his story and it is full of emotional disconnection, dysfunction, immaturity. It's just, and yet there's almost kind of this blank, sort of disconnected stare from him of like, you know, I'm really kind of struggling to see why I'm still addicted to pornography. I mean,
I have all the Jesus.
I got all
answers,
the answers.
Right?
You know, I got all the
Absolutely.
Jesus. And why That's why beautiful. Isn't my life changing? And he looks to you and basically says, what's the problem here?
Yeah. Well, okay.
And so, that's what we're saying. That's what we're addressing.
That's a good lead in. And remember the principle we're trying to establish. Your emotions were set up first, then your spiritual learning came on and developed second. So why did I say all of that? I said all of that to answer one question, right? If you don't know how to think about it, you're going to think about it wrong. So the question is, why does a strong pastor that loves his Bible Or a church leader, an elder, a deacon. Why does somebody way up there with history and background and training, why does that guy fall?
Mm.
I mean, it's like, it's shocking. Well, what happened? He was so good with his Bible verses, Jesus, God, love. He was so good.
His spiritual program was clicking. Right?
Amen. There you go. That's a so little teaser right
hopefully
there.
Hopefully you know where we're going now, right? The spiritual program wasn't necessarily having any problems.
No. So I'm going to go on. At the spiritual level, this man loves Jesus, he loves his Bible, and he loves the church. So why did he fall? The answer is because some old, unresolved issue or need or struggle in his emotional program got triggered. It got activated. And instead of fighting through that emotional confusion and pain and use his upper level skills to help him at the lower level, he strayed. He played. He got distracted. He fell because he went into his emotions and thought, I can find a solution here to my struggles. Oh, it's pleasure, it's fantasy, it's escaping. Oh, you have a problem? You use your emotional system, it's less mature, right? All the good stuff is in the spiritual realm.
And here's the thing, this is how I would answer that question. I mean, Stephen's kind of giving you his answer here. The way I would kind of expand on that, or maybe even bring a little bit of a different angle to it, is somebody, the way I would answer this question is, why do you have this, you know, seasoned pastor, leader, elder, whatever, you know, this Christian man, why does he fall? And I would say because he is thought insufficiently that the spiritual program is simply meant to sort of construct a behavioral outcome.
Mm.
And in some ways, you can do that strictly through the spiritual program willpower.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. You know, be holy as I'm holy. You know, do all these things. There's a sense in which, you know, don't lie and don't steal and don't commit adultery.
I love that. You know. I'm flashing back to, I went to church and they said, don't cuss, don't lie. Now, these are old. Don't go to dances.
Yeah.
You know, if you do all these don'ts, then you're a good Christian.
And that's just it. Sometimes the spiritual program, even if it's nice and neat and tidy and clean, it is narrowly focused on behavioral outcomes. And in that way, I believe the spiritual program is actually meant to mature your emotional program, to help to heal and mature that. But because so many of these leaders got on a track where it's like, man, this spiritual program, this is about winning people to Christ, and this is about behaving right, and this is about, you know, holy behavior.
And growing the church. And
then they're shocked and they're a little bit discouraged when all these old emotional things from underneath keep coming up.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they end up falling, is because they've got a disconnect between what the spiritual program is actually meant to do connection with the emotional program.
So when anyone falls, this is how I think. And I'm inviting you, if you're interested, to think this way. When someone falls, I immediately think, hey, I wonder what broke down in their emotional program. And then they played with it, stayed and lingered, and didn't bring it to submission. They didn't go up to the spiritual toolbox and get a spiritual tool. No.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what broke down in their emotional program. That's the line that pops in my head. Hey, I wonder what broke down in their emotional program. They were doing so good. But some old thing laying down there raises up, and you follow, and you try to deal with it emotionally, comforting, pleasure, escaping fantasy. If you try to stay down there and find your solutions to the brokenness in the broken place, they're coping. Yeah. They're surviving. You get some pleasure. You get to escape, but they're not great solutions.
So let's talk about that for a little bit, because I think that's a great question, but I can almost hear some of the thoughts in our listeners' heads right now, especially the men. Okay, so you're saying that something broke down in my emotional program. How do I recognize that? How do I start to explore that? What are the what are the questions that I may need to have someone ask me about that? How do I start to explore that? Because a lot of guys, again, they're thinking,
No. You know, this is wrong. I can't tell anybody. I'm going to keep this a secret. Nobody's going to know. I'm going to do this myself, my way, probably the way I've done it before. And no, I'm not giving it to God or another guy. I mean, there's a restlessness, right? Don't you know when you do wrong?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You mean, so there's a stirring in your soul that this is not of God. In mm-hmm. your spirit, I would say, there's a stirring in your spirit. And because I think the spirit knows and the soul wants to go play. And your spirit and the Holy Spirit know, hey, that's not right. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that. But you go, no, I'm going to, just a little. Right? Don't you hear that language? Don't you use that
absolutely. Language? Absolutely. And so I guess what I'm saying, though, is okay, how do we start to work toward having better language around that, being able to say it? Because in one way, it's like, yeah, I think we all have a conscience. Like you said, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, all those types of things. Mm-hmm. But being able to then recognize what are some of the specific things that then drive me to that place of saying, no, I'm going to do it my way. Because it's easy for us to just give another sort of pat, high-level answer, well, you're a sinful being.
No.
But it's like, wait a second. This could be very connected to some of these deeply rooted things in our past that keep me stuck. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
For me, and I've seen this happen so many times over the years of dealing with men who've got a porn addiction, mm-hmm. is there's this amazing almost coinciding of whenever a strong trajectory towards getting hooked on porn began.
Okay.
There's an emotional stunting that happens at that point in time. So, for instance, in my case, I got introduced to porn when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
I was in my mid-20s before I started my recovery from my addiction. One of the things I actually had to recognize when I started to recover from my addiction is, you know what? I think, respond, and act in life like a 12-year-old emotionally. Mm. So that was a very specific realization of me, yeah. of going, okay, it's one thing for me to say, oh, I know that what the emotional problem is I'm a sinner. But now it made me realize, wait a second, no, I got stuck and I got stunted through the introduction of that material where I started operating, I stayed in a 12-year-old mindset, and porn only exacerbated that immature, selfish way
escape,
of thinking.
Escape, yeah. soothing, so answer
that,
for everything.
I don't know if that helps.
Well, think about how you drive that, because I think that everybody can look at how they've coped with their old pain. Mm-hmm. Right, because that's what you're talking about, the pain in our soul. Am I valued? Am I loved? Am I wanted? Am I chosen? Do I have friends? Do people like me?
And what I'm going to do emotionally in response to that? Am I going to dig in harder and say, it's going to be my way? I'm going to do, you know, I'll
right, but
control.
All of those, we're all asking that question. And when a kid is introduced to porn, right, porn answers all those questions. In fantasy land, all the girls love me.
Right, yeah.
I don't have problems in fantasy land. They do exactly, and they give me what I want, and I make up a fantasy. So you said it beautifully, right? And it's true of alcohol. If you drink mm-hmm. too much every night, you have to have alcohol every night to rest. It's true of any of the fantasies. If you overeat, it's like for comfort. And it's like, so there's always pain that drives addictions, and addictions are solutions.
Yeah.
Right? And that's your comment is, look back at your life, and what have you done with the emotional pain and the unanswered questions and the question about worth and value and identity? Well, anything you did as a kid is probably pleasure-based, if I could say that. And as adults, we realize we need maturity and insight. And we need physical and consistent with God, spiritual comfort.
And that's why I like where you go, where it goes next in this, in terms of we have old emotional areas that we battle and struggle to surrender to the spiritual. I feel like if you were to try to narrow down this whole conversation to say, okay, what is the connection between the emotional and spiritual? How are they supposed to be intertwined? And what program is meant to lead the other.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And the spiritual is meant to lead and mature the emotional program, right?
Right.
But sometimes what we do is we say, I'm going to stay stuck and rigid in my emotional
program. Or I'm going to go back. Because that's what the pastor did, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went back to, he has some unresolved questions and he went back to, oh, you're paying attention to me. Oh, you like me. Oh, you're flirting with me. Oh, and he left his spiritual resources, tools, life, and went back to the old childhood. You know, I they like me as a preacher, but do you like me as a person? And if you show up and smile and you laugh at my jokes and talk to me, it's like, here's a solution to my old problem.
So how shall we close? How do you want to close this
for the guy out there? It's tricky. The Bible verse that goes with this is each person's own desires, his emotions, and thoughts, lots of old childhood thoughts and wounds, drag you away into evil, and they lure you into darkness. And that's James 1:14. It's like the desires of your heart, the unresolved issues, the pain from your past, if it hasn't been dealt with, it's going to lay right down there, still looking for an answer. And if all your pain hasn't found Jesus and spiritual tools and biblical truths and better ways, then your pain will find and play with the old ways.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, the way we answer this question, in a big sense, why do we fall, right, is because we are not doing the emotional work. Like, you want the big kind of 30,000-foot view of what we're talking about here is we're leaving the emotional work undone as men.
Yeah,
We're not letting the spiritual program truly direct and heal and mature the emotional program. And the way that we do that is exactly what you said. We bring these things to Jesus, but we bring them to Jesus in community where we can actually learn how to... Because I believe it's in community that the emotional system matures.
Okay.
Because we have to be challenged. We have to be talked to. We have to bring out the story and the struggles and the things that have happened to us. And
so you can see them better.
So we can not have the secrets and the hiddenness and all those kinds of things. Yeah. Not have the darkness that wants to lure us back into all of those secrets.
Good. Yeah.
So, well, we hope this conversation has at least stirred your mind and your heart in thinking about, okay, what's going on in my emotional and spiritual programs in my life? And how can you take your next best step towards maturing?
Hey, and so I've been writing a thought for a day at drmarriage.org. And if you'll go there, and we'll send you a thought a day to challenge you in emotional growth and spiritual insight. And how do you put them together?
That's actually where this particular podcast episode came from, was this was one of the thoughts for the day, is why do we fall? So we want to help you take that next best step. Please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
Amen. God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.